My name's Stephen, and if you want to open up your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3, that's where we'll be reading from tonight. So, but Philippians chapter 3, before I read that, how about we ask God to help us to understand what he has to say in his word. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the book of Philippians. Thank you that it's such an encouraging letter. And we ask, Lord, that through it we might be encouraged to live more like our Saviour Jesus. Thank you that you did send him to save us, and thank you that we can enjoy that privilege tonight. And we ask, Lord, as we look at your word, that the Holy Spirit might be working within us, helping us to become more like Jesus, our Saviour. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. So Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it says this: "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, and as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Who here likes cricket? Anyone like cricket? All right, we've got a few likers of cricket. Now, myself, I'm a big fan of cricket. And I have two brothers who are big fans of cricket as well. We used to love playing cricket against each other. And we loved playing cricket so much that outside our house on the dairy farm I grew up on, we built a long cement cricket pitch and put a cricket net right around it. So when we weren't playing on Saturday, we could practice cricket on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. We really like cricket. In fact, because they had daylight savings, after we finished milking, sometimes we'd go up to the house and we'd play cricket until it was too dark to see. We really like playing cricket. But we also really like watching cricket. We used to travel down to Melbourne quite regularly because Melbourne was the closest big city for where I come from. And we'd watch the cricket there. And one of our highlights was each year, because we grew up in a dairy farm, is sitting down watching the first session of the first test up here at the Gabba. We used to love it. The reason why we loved it is because Australia used to dominate cricket. Australia would go and smash most teams 9 out of 10 occasions. And you can have complete confidence that Matthew Hayden, Langer, the Wars, whoever it was, would go out and belt a bowling attack around. And if the batsman, other team was batting, you'd have confidence McGrath, Gillespie and Warne would get them out. That was about 10 years ago, though. It had complete confidence in the Australian team. Things have changed a little bit since then. This year, Australia has gone over to India and played a test series over there, lost 4-0. Played England in England for the Ashes, lost 3-0. Things have changed in the cricket for Australia, and I'm not as confident as what I once was. Now, Australia's playing England for the Ashes again, and we're going all right. First test, we won it. Another 4 tests to go. We'll see how we go. But 10 years ago, I would have had complete confidence that Australia would go out and probably win all 5 tests. But now, my confidence has copped a bit of a beating. Now confidence is it's a good thing, isn't it? It's good to have confidence in your car or your bike to get you from A to B. It's good to have confidence in your husband or your wife or your children or your friends, because you know that they'll be there for you. You know that when times are tough, you can be confident they'll be there to help you out during those tough times. Well, this evening, as we look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, we're going to see where Paul places his confidence of being right with God. And the question I want to answer tonight, really simple question: where is your confidence of being right with God? That's the question I want to answer tonight. Where is your confidence of being right with God? Well, the first thing we see Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, is how to protect ourselves from placing our confidence in the wrong place. How to protect ourselves from putting our confidence where it shouldn't be. You see, just as a cricket helmet protects us from the cricket ball, Paul goes on to say that rejoicing in the Lord is a safeguard for us. It protects us from putting our confidence in the wrong place. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, he says this. He says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it's a safeguard for you." So rejoicing in the Lord is a safeguard for us. Well, when I read that, I have two questions that come up. Firstly, what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? And secondly, what's rejoicing in the Lord a safeguard from? Well, the first question, what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? We need to remember that this letter of Philippians is written by Paul, and at this stage, he's in prison. And while he's in prison, people have been going around stirring up trouble for him, saying bad things about him. So for Paul, his external circumstances, they're not very good at all. They're not very good at all. And we can be sitting here tonight and we think to ourselves, maybe your external circumstances are pretty rubbish like Paul's. Your external circumstances might be rubbish. So for Paul, the joy in the Lord isn't based in our external circumstances. Rather, our joy in the Lord is based solely in the Lord. Because we as Christians are going to heaven. We as Christians have been saved from eternal punishment in hell. We as Christians know who the Lord is. So that is where our joy is to be found. Our joy is to be found in the Lord. And when we come together as brothers and sisters, it's great to be able to sing songs to God, because that helps us to turn our attention to God. It helps us to get our focus right and puts it back on Him. When we come and we open up God's Word, that's a great way to be able to turn our attention onto God. When we meet together in growth groups, that's a great way to be able to turn our attention to God. You see, when we miss out on those things, when we miss out on hanging out with other brothers and sisters in Christ, we're robbing ourselves of the opportunity to be able to turn our attention back onto the Lord. We rob ourselves of those opportunities. And most of the time, we end up putting our attention of being right with God in the wrong place. So where is the wrong place? Well, Paul shows us in verses 2 to 6 where the wrong place is. And he rips right into these people that try to convince us to put our confidence in the wrong place. He says in verse 2, see what he says. He says, "Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh." You see, it seems that traveling around, there are these people that are trying to convince other people that you have to become Jewish to become Christians. In other words, you have to do X, Y, and Z to become friends with God. And Paul rips right into them. And he actually, it's interesting, he takes out their line of thinking that you have to do X, Y, and Z to be right with God. And he shows them that if anyone has the right to be right with God by doing the right things, it's Paul. He shows us his credentials in verses 4 to 6. This is what he says. He says, "If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless." See, Paul shows us his pure Jewish pedigree, his upper-class social status, his blameless moral life as a Pharisee, and his personal piety based on the law. See, if anyone could put confidence in the flesh, confidence in who he is and what he's done, it was Paul. See, Paul's just given a list there, so I thought, why not? You've written up a bit of a list. I'll give you a bit of my list. I'm going to stick it up under the wall of things that I've done and my pedigree. So here it goes. Like most of you, most likely, I was born into a Christian family. Very privileged to have been born into a Christian family. Ever since I can remember, I've attended church. gone along every Sunday. Sometimes I used to hide my shoes so I didn't have to go, but I'd get there most of the time. Went to church. On Friday nights, we used to have youth group. I was there all the time at youth group. Eventually become one of the leaders at youth group. After being there for a while, decided to go to Bible college. Went off to Bible college. And I spent 3 years in Sydney at a Bible college there. And now I'm employed by Acacia Ridge Presbyterian Church. So I work for a church now. So that's another thing that's not too bad. I think I'm reasonably nice. You can prove me wrong, David, if you like. But I think I'm not too bad a person. And I think I'm helpful. I think I help out people. I was trying to give Peter Vandalin a bit of advice on some storage. I know how helpful that was, but I think it's a bit helpful. I try to be helpful. Now, these are some of the things that I've done, some of who I am. Yeah, not too bad. But compared to Paul, my list is rubbish. You see, none of us can reach up to Paul's standard of perfection. None of us have a pure Jewish pedigree like Paul. None of us can reach up to his standard. But did you notice what he told us to do in verse 2? He told us to watch out for those dogs, those mutilators of the flesh, those men who do evil, those people who tell you can have confidence in who you are and what you have done. He says, watch out for them. Be on guard for them. Be on guard for those people who say, you can be right with God if you do this, this, and this. Or you're good enough to be friends with God. Watch out for those people. Now, watching out for dogs. In the morning, I'm pretty hopeless at waking up. And part of my ritual of waking up, sort of to stumble out of bed, get a bit of water, splash it on the face, and I walk around for a while and not really sure what's going on. And then I jump on a bike and I usually ride into work here. And as I'm riding into work one day, I was riding in and I hear a dog barking. No surprise, riding along. And so I see out of the corner of my eye, this person's at the front door yelling out. So like, oh, what's going on here? Then I've had a bit more of a look. And this big dog is out the door and it's after me. Well, thankfully, I could ride fast enough and I was far enough away that the dog didn't get me. But every time I ride past that place, every time I ride past it, I'm watching out for that dog. Well, Paul urges us to watch out for those dogs, those people who tell you that if you're good enough, you can be right with God. Those dogs that tell you if you do enough good things, you can be right with God. See, don't place your confidence in the wrong place. Don't think that because you've been to Bible college, because you've left your family and friends, because you work for a church, don't think that those things give you confidence to be right with God. Don't think that turning up to church every Sunday gives you confidence to be right with God. Don't think that being on the sound desk, playing music, bringing food, being welcoming, don't think that that gives you confidence to be right with God. Don't think that being baptized, taking the Lord's Supper, giving away money each week, having other people over to your place for hospitalities, don't think that gives you confidence to be right with God. I guess one of the logical questions that comes out of that is, how do I know if I've placed my confidence in the wrong place? Well, I think the answer to that question is pretty simple. I think if we think I've done X, Y, and Z, God somehow owes me, our confidence is in the wrong place. You see, God is no man's debtor. God puts us into debt. We never put God into debt. So please, don't place your confidence of being right with God in the wrong place. Don't place your confidence of being right with God in who you are and what you have done. So where is your confidence of being right with God found? Well, we find the answer in verses 7 to 9. And this is what it says. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. When you read that, what does Paul mean when he says, all these things I considered profit, I now consider loss compared to knowing Jesus? What's he mean? All these good things I do, I now consider loss for the sake of knowing Jesus. Well, what it means is Paul has stopped. He's looked at all the good things he does, all the things that you might consider to have confidence of being right with God. And he said, actually, they're rubbish compared to knowing Jesus, because Jesus is so much better. In fact, the translation's really, really polite there. In other words, Paul, he stopped. He's looked at all the good things he has done, and he's come to the conclusion all they are is a pile of crap. See, the reason why they're like that is because it took the life and death of Jesus to make us friends with God. See, that's why he says, all these things I thought were good, they're actually rubbish. They don't make me right with God. I can't place my confidence in them. Last week, for those who were here, I was talking about my youth pastor, Dave Enderby. And Dave had the job of cleaning toilets at a camp for 250 hungry youth. Now, just imagine that Dave was doing his job. He's there cleaning the toilets. And he reaches in, pulls out a dirty big poo. So imagine if he does that. Then he goes, he places it before God, says, check it out, God, there's my good works. He wouldn't do it, would he? You see, the reason he wouldn't do it is because all of our good works look like that compared to Jesus, because Jesus is so much better. Earlier, you wrote down a list of all the things people do for God. Well, what I'd like you to do with that list, I'm going to do it with my list now. All these things here, being a part of a Christian family, doesn't give me confidence to be right with God. Going to church doesn't give me confidence to be right with God. Going to youth group doesn't give me confidence to be right with God. Bible college, nah, doesn't give me confidence either. Work for the church doesn't give me confidence. Being nice doesn't give me confidence. Being helpful doesn't give me confidence. You see, what I'd like you to do, that list that you wrote of all the things you do, I'd like you to scrunch it up. Because that list does not give us confidence of being right with God. In fact, good shot. Whoever else has shot after, oh, Dan. Ah. Oh. That's all right, chuck it in the bin. Come on, Steve. You see, our lists are rubbish. Our lists do not give us confidence, thanks David, of being right with God. Our lists are no good. Don't place your confidence in the list. You see, it doesn't matter if you're the Prime Minister of Australia or you're a homeless person on the street. Doesn't matter if you're Mother Teresa or the worst person in the block. We can never be good enough to please God. We can never do enough good things to please God. See, that's why knowing the greatness of Jesus is so good. Because God has provided a way for us to be right with him. God's provided a way so that we can stand before him as if we have never sinned. See, our confidence must be in the right place. Our confidence must be in Jesus and in Jesus alone, because it's through Jesus alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, that we can be right with God. I was reading the other day in the Eternity magazine. You might have seen it as well. There's a little comic strip. And on a comic strip, a person gets there and says, reads from the Bible, that those people who believe that Jesus died for their sins, have faith in Jesus alone, they'll go to heaven. And another person's opened up and is like, sure, there's got to be something else I can do to make sure I get there. There isn't. Be saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. See, it's so good when we know that we're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. It's so good to know that Jesus has done 100% of the work to save us. He's done 100% of the work. Because that frees us from the burden of feeling guilty. Guilty when we fail to read the Bible, when we fail to pray. They're good things to do, but we don't place our confidence in doing them. You see, when Jesus saved us, he saves us completely. There is nothing we can do to save us. Jesus did it all. There was once a man named Martin Luther. He was a monk, and he struggled desperately with the question, how can I be right with God? He struggled desperately. He tried sleeping on hard floors. He tried going without food. He even tried once climbing up these steps on his hands and knees at Rome to make himself right with God. But he knew in his heart that God is a just God. God must punish sin. And he knew deep within him that he was a sinner that would deserve to be punished. Well, one day he was reading the book of the Romans, and he discovered that the only way that he could be right with God was if God himself provided a way for him to be right. We went on to read that God has done that. God provided a way for him and for us to be right with him through Jesus. You see, after he read that, the light bulb came on. He finally got it, that God has provided a way for him to be friends with him. You see, it's so good to know that Jesus has done 100% of the work. That's so good. See, that's why Paul tells us at the start of chapter 3, rejoice in the Lord. That's why he says, because he wants us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. He doesn't want us to go and place our confidence in the wrong place. He wants us to place our confidence in Jesus and in Jesus alone. See, if you go home tonight with one thing, this is it. Our confidence of being right with God is found in Jesus. That's it. Our confidence of being right with God is found in Jesus. How about we'll pray? And then if you want to ask some questions, feel free to after that. Dear Lord, we are sorry for the times when we have thought that because I've done these things for you, that they somehow make us right with you. We ask that you will forgive us for those times, and we ask that you will help us to continually come back and rejoice in the Lord and help us to place our confidence 100% in Jesus. We thank you that he did it all. He did it all for us so we can become friends with you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to take the punishment that we deserve and to give us the righteousness we don't deserve. Thank you so much for us. And we ask that you'll help us to live our rest of our lives in appreciation for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.